Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to Wednesday night church class. And good to be here tonight. Got several that's out of town, and I believe the Riches are up seeing the Ark up in Kentucky. Everybody that went got well. And so praise the Lord for that. I know that, of course, with Brother Don and Miss Carla being home, they don't ever really get any good family time in, and going to be with Stephen and them up there. Or I think Stephen and Kristen and family were meeting them at the Ark. Something along those lines, one of the two. Just some good family time, and praise the Lord for that. And everybody enjoying this heat. And Weatherman was talking about triple digits. Don't know if he was talking about humidity or heat index or actual temperature. But the Braves, they'll be playing here. First pitch is in a few minutes. I know them boys are going to be burning up. And I'll tell you what, they burned up the bats last night. They end up losing, but it was a home run derby. But anyway, it is hot, and we're inside, so no complaints. But again, it's good to be here tonight. We're going to jump right into things this evening. Do remember Miss Mary Ann Sandvi in the morning. We'll be going up to Georgia National Cemetery to place his ashes and all, and wherever it is that she has a spot for him, and have a little mini service there. And so, again, Miss Mary Ann, I'm honored that you'd allow me to step in and speak over him again. So, we love you, and we love your family. Just remember, 8:30 in the morning is that right? Okay, they better not be late. I'll tell them. I say, why y'all late? We came all the way from Mars. But anyway, just remember that. Got word earlier that, or actually yesterday, Miss Shauna Bendy, she's home, and spoke with Brother Michael this afternoon. I say I spoke, texted with him, and it's just been a rough day. She's trying to get her speech back. They've done all kinds of x-rays and scans. And when I think about speech leaving, I think about Brother Eddie and the strokes he had. And so they're really not sure what's going on, but they do have her on medication, and they're going to start some speech therapy. And I told her we'll have, of course, special prayer for her tonight. We'll definitely mention her during this time, or during our prayer time. And, of course, energy and mental clarity for Michael to continue to work his job during the day. But we'll just pray the Lord will figure it out for him. That's what will be our prayer tonight. And so if they're watching, we love you guys and we miss you guys. Let's remember Trail Norton contacted me this week. He has a, I guess it's a friend, he didn't specify, named Mac Cacaras, C-A-C-E-R-A-S, Mac Cacaras, and he's in his 40s, stage 4 cancer. That's just terrible. And it reminds me of Johnny Ivey, that being so young had cancer like he did, and he beat it a couple of times, and it came back, and it beat him. But let's remember this request that he called in. I spoke with Leonard Palmer this afternoon, and Brother Leonard, he started naming off these tests that he had done in the past couple of weeks in and out of the Paulden Hospital, taking x-rays and CT scans and all. Everything came back crystal clear. Although there's a CT scan that normally is the first one back, and it hadn't came back yet. And, you know, anything like that, I'm telling you, our mind goes everywhere, and the devil plays on that. And so I told Brother Leonard we'll have special prayer for him tonight, too, our prayer time. But, of course, they're wanting that to be clear, that CT scan. And his eye is still not fully opening. And I told him, I said, I remember the first time you had that surgery on that eye. I said, I'm going to continue praying for that eye until it's fully open. And he got a little laugh out of that. But Miss Dolores has COVID, and I asked permission to share that. I asked permission to share anything. Some people don't like their personal business shared, and some want all the prayers they can get. So pray for Miss Dolores. There was something another else to mention with her. They've just got appointments coming up, more appointments. And so remember that the COVID will be contained and she would be better. Transfusion, that's what she has to have, a transfusion. So it was either the transfusion or be a guinea pig with some of these pills. And so Leonard said, no, we're not doing that. And so remember them. Randy Maddox, of course, we know his blood work came back clear, but continue to remember him. David Barker with his diabetes. Continue to remember Brother Dion, the Lauders, Dion and Elna, as Brother Dion stood this past Sunday morning and told everyone he got his citizenship. That was awesome, an awesome time. But Miss Elna, I think 6 months out, she goes, and it's just that period of time where you just don't know is the biggest wrestle, faith-wise. So let's remember them during this time. And, of course, their daughter, I say her name right every time, but then Sunday morning, how do you say it, DNA? Like DNA? Yeah. I think Sunday morning I said DNA. But anyway, she smiled. But let's remember them in prayer. Brother Harold Dolph, Miss Glenda's nephews, how are they doing? Good, good. It's hard for a man. Yeah. Well, we'll remember them. Also, Pastor Johnny Watson with cancer. Brother David worked over his place a couple of weeks ago, and he requested prayer. Okay. All right. Well, if you're watching, Brother Johnny, welcome, and we're praying for you continually until you're healed. And so we appreciate folks tuning in. It really it's exciting to know that people are tuning in and watching. So let's remember this request, Miss Claudia Darby. Remember her in our prayers. Maybe someone has an update. Praise, Brother David. Absolutely. Let's remember this. Anyone else? Miss Glenda? Remember this request? Hearing about more and more cases. something we have to live with, you know it? All right. Last call. I want to share something with you. First, let me say this last Sunday of the month, and Sunday night will be our fellowship down in the fellowship hall, devotion and dinner. And it's probably going to be a ham sandwich kind of dinner, but we'll have something. Also, I wanted to share, we're a little ways out, but on August the 28th, Sunday morning, Pastor Keith Collins over at Floyd Road called me and asked me if I'd preach their homecoming. And so, of course, I said yes. And so we'll be over there on the 28th of August. Can't remember who's singing, but I believe it's Barry Rowland in Deliverance, something like that. And but I got a special treat for the church while I'm away that morning. Brother Craig Edwards is going to be at Floyd Road on Monday. And so Keith and Brother Craig got to talking. And Craig said, well, who do you have for homecoming? And Keith said, I got Brother Justin over at Calvary. He goes, oh, I know Brother Justin. He said, well, the only thing is to that is, you know, having someone cover on Sunday morning, you know, it's kind of difficult. And Craig spoke up and said, well, I'll preach for Brother Justin while he's over there. And so we got to talking, and Floyd Road is going to take care of the his room. He's coming in on a Saturday, so he'll stay all the way through, I'm guessing, Tuesday morning. And then I texted Brother Craig, and he texted back. He said, you wouldn't happen to need me on Sunday night, would you? And I got to thinking, well, it sure would be nice for me to, when I come back on Sunday night, to hear Brother Craig. So I said, we certainly do, brother. We certainly do. We'd love to have you Sunday morning and Sunday night. So I got Brother Craig Edwards on the 28th. Let me say this. Brother Craig asked me about a certain subject on Sunday night he wants to preach. And he's never asked me that before. And immediately I was like, yes, yes. And so he wants me to get it out there. He feels like people will come. So don't know what he's preaching that morning, August 28th, Sunday morning. But that night, 5 o'clock, he's going to be preaching on the subject of depression. And let me tell you, Brother Craig has wrote books on depression. He experienced a lot of, I guess I have too, a little bit of the tough man mentality. Oh, nothing's going to make me feel bad. If you got depression, then you're not exercising real faith. And so, but Brother Craig, he uses life experiences, of course, the Bible. And so I really want to make a big to-do about that Sunday night. And I want to do something or another to put it out there. And I want to put up the subject matter, too. Craig Edwards speaking on depression. And you wait and see. We may have a church full, have to pull out some chairs. We're going through a time where a lot of people are discouraged and hurting and depressed. And so just want to share that with you. Anything else before we pray? All right, well, let's remember our young people downstairs. And I believe Brother Jeff will have a song for us after we pray. So at this time, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. You know how we do it.
Heavenly Father, we come tonight in Jesus' name. And Lord, scanned as I would be, not hearing from the doctors yet. And so, God, I pray that he'll get a clean report, a clean, just good results from this test. Lord, I pray that you'd touch Ms. Lamoris, this COVID, Lord, that you would allow it to pass through her system and out. And God, that you would use the steps the doctors are wanting to take in order to make her well. Every person on our prayer list tonight, we lift up to you. Those mentioned, those not mentioned, all of our missionaries, those, Lord, that belong to Calvary that are not here tonight, they're traveling, they're out of town, they're working. Father, we pray tonight that you would be with them. Bless our young people downstairs and our teachers. And Lord, as we move forward each and every week, Sunday in, Sunday out, Wednesday in, Wednesday out, I pray that you just keep the fire burning. Help us, Lord, continue to go the extra mile, oh God, and just reach out to our community. Let people know that there is a Savior that has died for the sins of the world, and they can have eternal life with him in heaven. Be with us tonight in a very special way, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Excellent, excellent. I love many things about that song. I have one particular memory about that song, Amazing Grace, when Buford Howard, he used to have the jail ministry, be in charge of the jail ministry. He was out of Floyd Road as well. And preacher, I would go with Brother Buford down there, and there in the cafeteria, just a cafeteria full of inmates, and one of them would come up front and lead in a church hymn, and I remember the very first one was Amazing Grace, and just hearing them sing Amazing Grace a cappella in a room where you know the sound is really carrying really well. It's just an amazing thing, really amazing thing. And then I like that song where it says, "Grace has taught my heart to fear." And many people were raised in church, and that's a wonderful testimony if you were raised in church, but I wasn't, and had no formal training. It's just the pure grace of God that has taught me to fear Him and to walk with Him. And so I appreciate the Lord tonight being with me every step of the way, and being with you every step of the way. All right. Make your way to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I don't know about you or not, but it's the simple truths of God's Word that really helped me. And got to thinking a whole lot just about this week about the Lord and some characteristics of His. And again, a lot of people are going through a lot of things. And tonight I think it'd be good if we just remind ourselves of some characteristics of God. And just by simple faith, embracing what the Bible says, I mean, it can totally, totally change our perspective. Our situation may not change, but our perspective can change. And when the perspective changes, then comes peace or the lack thereof. But the title tonight is Characteristics of God That Comfort. Characteristics of God that comfort. God has many attributes or characteristics, however you want to say it, concerning Himself. Let me say this. He is love. Love is a characteristic, is an attribute of God. And it's really interesting and it's exciting. You can just go through each and every characteristic. And I mean, you could take forever on that. You can go to love and explore a lot of places where the love of God was shed abroad in the Scriptures. God is love. This world mistreats us. There's a lot of people who don't give second chances, but Jesus gives second chances. Jesus crosses barriers. He crosses the aisle, so to speak, to reach out to the one that's hurting, no matter the ethnic background, whatnot. Jesus is love. Of course, John 3:16, for God not just loved the world, but so loved the world. I know around Christmas time I preach a message on how much is so, and really, how much is so? You really can't put an exact estimation on how much love is wrapped up in the word so. So God is love. He's merciful. He's wise. He's just, faithful, holy, eternal, and many, many more. But tonight I want to look at just three simple characteristics. Now, these characteristics we fell in, there's no way that we can fulfill to begin with any of His characteristics. But these three characteristics are three characteristics that a human cannot do, cannot fulfill. And I think it's neat that things that we cannot fulfill, He can fulfill. And so we have our lives and we have our situations and we can't fulfill it. We can't work it out, but yet God can. And so I want to look at these things. It's the word, number one, omniscient. Number two, omnipresent. And then omnipotent. Omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. So I believe the more we understand the character of God, the more it can help us in our own lives, help us understand why we encounter difficulty and how we can make it through. There's just no way that we can escape the faith element. It's always going to be part of the Christian walk. Habakkuk said it, and New Testament said it, for the just shall live by faith. And so that's always going to be an element we got to contend with. We just got to take God's word for it and let that be it. Number one, I want to look at God is omniscient. Omniscient. What does omniscient mean? It just simply means that he knows everything. He's a know-it-all. You remember in school when someone would come up to you and or come up to the nerdy one, so to speak, giving all the answers in class, and somebody would say, oh, you think you just know it all, Mr. Know-it-all. Well, tonight the Lord does know it all. He knows everything, and what a blessing that is tonight to know that he knows everything. Again, I said that these are areas that there's no way we can fulfill as humans. There's no way that we can know everything. But while we can not know everything, he knows everything. And so that just really grabbed a hold of me this week. Look here in Psalm 139. Look at verse number 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. These verses speak on that big word, omniscient. God being omniscient. Verse number 1, he says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. So, God, you know me. And that can be a scary thing. That's a good thing, but on the same token, it can be a scary thing because me personally, I don't always act godly. And sometimes I try to, our flesh kind of thinks it's getting smart, getting intelligent. And so sometimes in my mind, I'm thinking towards God and his word, thinking about Sunday and how my quiet times during the week is all connecting to my sermons, and that I'll have this thought in my head about something that has nothing to do with anything. And, it doesn't have to be some grave sin or anything like that, but just something there that I think God can't see or God doesn't know about. And it's funny sometimes how those things surface. And I take it as that God has a sense of humor when it comes to the things that we think he don't know. David says he knows everything. He searched me, and he has known me. And that's a blessing tonight. Verse 2 says, thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. So he says, you know my down-sitting. Now, how do you interpret that? I'm definitely not going to overcomplicate Scripture, but every commentary I've read and ever since I've been reading that verse, down-sitting, in my estimation, and what I've read, means to sit down. And so if that's true, do we believe that the Lord knows our down-sitting? Do we believe that tonight? If we believe that, what this verse says, then God is aware of what pew, how many pews from the front back you're sitting on. God's aware of that. Miss Mary Ann, he knows. 4, I had to count. Jeff Sharon, God's not confused. He didn't miss one. Y'all are not on 6, y'all are on 5. BJ, you're on 6, so forth and so on. But isn't that amazing how that God knows our down-sitting? And again, that could be a good thing, but on the same token, it can be a scary thing, especially if we're not sitting where we're supposed to be sitting, not meaning church, but in the world. There's a movement, a thought process in our day of Christians being social drinkers, and it's been going on forever. But try to belly up at a bar, on a bar stool, and sit there if you are truly born again and not feel convicted. There's no way. Knowing that God knows our down sittings, he knows when we're sitting in the pew, but also he knows when we're sitting in the bar. And so that ought to be convicting to know that. Yet, a lot of Christians do that, And we know that the Holy Spirit convicts, but we just shove them off and shove them and push them. We don't surrender to His drawings and His conviction. And so over time, it becomes numb and less. We become less sensitive to His drawings. But He knows our down sittings, whether we're sitting in a good place or a bad place. Sometimes we're sitting in a hospital room, waiting on a loved one, by the bed of a loved one. Sometimes we're sitting at a doctor's office in the lobby waiting on results. God knows about it. There's been several times where I've been in the waiting room with Lily, and we've been to the doctor through the years, just anxious with different things. One particular time, I mean, I was a mess, just filled with anxiety, filled with fear. The devil already painted the worst picture possible in my head. And, I mean, I was just fatigued and depleted, and basically have already given up my daughter for the worst possible scenario, only for the doctor to come out and say, it is a great report. It is a great report. And I know it doesn't always go that way, but God knew what I was experiencing when I was sitting there. And I can't be everywhere at the same time, or I can't know everything. I can't know everything in this world. It's impossible. It is for all of us, but I'm glad that I know one who can and who does. It's the Lord. So wherever you may find yourself sitting toward the second half of this week, God knows about it, and He's with you. You're going to remember that. I know you will. Look at verse number 3. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. And I really didn't think about this study and looking at these verses that it could be a good thing or a bad thing, but it really is. I say good thing or bad thing. He says in verse 3, thou compassest my path. The word compassest there, it means to winnow. It means to study. So God studies the paths we take. He is diligently looking at our paths. No wonder the Bible says, thou wilt show me the path of life. That's pretty amazing. Thou compassest, thou studies my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Acquainted, another word for that is familiar. So just think about your routine, your life, the good times and the bad times, the things that you love to do and the things that you don't love to do. The Lord has studied your path, your schedule, your routine. He has become acquainted with all of those ways, any way you take. And so this is supposed to bring comfort to us. But at the same time, if we're out of step with the Lord, it can bring correction to us. Tonight, the Lord is omniscient. He knows everything. And again, the title is Characteristics of God That Comfort. It's just supposed to be able to bring a little comfort to us tonight to know that He knows. He knows. The second word I want to mention is the word omnipotent. Omnipotent. That's just a fancy word that means all power. So, turn if you would to Philippians 3, just a moment. Philippians 3. All of my bookmarkers have walked off out of my study at home. Philippians 3, listen to this in verse number 10, talking about God having all power. Paul says, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, in the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. And so Paul here says that he desires to know God more. And in this verse, to know God more means you have to know suffering more. That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. Well, in order to know the power of His resurrection, there must be the fellowship of his sufferings. You see, because there was the suffering of Jesus first, then his death, burial, and resurrection. And so the same in our life is that there's suffering first, but then there's a resurrection. There's seasons of life where things aren't going our way. We're suffering. But then there's, and I'm sure everyone in here can agree and testify and give God praise, that there are seasons of life that are just great, where things are happening and there's joy in the family and there's, I mean, everything is just working and clicking and operating. There's seasons of life that are just like that. There has to be the suffering before the resurrection. And there are resurrection seasons in life where things are fresh and things are new. So we praise the Lord for that. God is omnipotent. This means he has all power. All through the Bible we see his power. He's parting waters. He's healing the sick, raising the dead. And this is the Lord that we serve tonight. The Lord can involve himself in our situation with his power if he wants to. And, of course, we have a part in that, and that is expressing and exercising full faith. He saved us by his power. He changes us by his power. He keeps us by his power. He protects us by his power. Kind of gets to be a tongue twister, I have to admit it. He aids us by his power. And so it's about the power of God tonight, the power of God. And he has all power, not some power. Now, the devil has some power. We were on vacation a couple of weeks ago, and, of course, many of you know Charisse, Lily's friend. Well, her dad, Brother Ben, he's been in the ministry before, and he's a preacher and all. And we were talking, eating lunch one day, and talking about when Jesus was in the garden, or when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted of the devil. And what Ben said that day, I never thought about, but it's so true. He said, you know, Brother Justin, when the devil said, make these, you know, the stones be turned into bread. And of course the Lord was fasting. And then he said, jump off the temple and I will give you this. Ben told me, he said, the devil really had the power to give it. And the things that he said, he really had the power to give those things. I never really thought about that. Because we know for a little season, the devil has some power here on earth. And we can see that every single morning we wake up. Oh my goodness, it is so terrible. This morning, a couple people shot and killed. I'm talking about 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds. Just terrible rapes and murders. We see the power of the devil, don't we? All too often. And but he has some power. But Jesus has all power. He has all power. So let the devil rant and rave and do what he wants to do and kick up the dust of the earth and get mad and angry and, you know, cause a little havoc. The Lord's just allowing him to wear himself out so that he can burn better in his own lake of fire. God is omnipotent. He has all power. And we're moving through these fast. So, number three, God is omnipresent. Of course, this means he is always present everywhere. I've talked with people before, especially back when I was working at Georgia Tech, that, I mean, they have legitimate questions. Some who are not saved but are considering it. And then there were the Muslims who one or two here and there would consider Christianity. But one of them, it was always one, we had a Bible study class actually there, Christian Bible study on campus. One guy said, tell me, how can you be everywhere at one time? Nobody could say the answer to that. We just say because he's God, that's how. But that's not good enough for them. You see, it's just not good enough. like the Jehovah Witnesses in the Trinity. How can you be all three at one? I mean, that's blasphemy. Well, he just is. That don't mean I'm not operating full faith. That just means I'm really taking God at his word. And so tonight we need to take him at his word. He is right here in Calvary Baptist Church right now. He's at Floyd Road right now. He's at Cochran Ridge right now. He's at Ridge Road Baptist right now. And then all the way over on the West Coast, and all the churches there, he's in every single church. He's with every single person. And then over in Alaska, at these little Bible studies, meeting in igloos, he is in those igloos with every single person, hearing every single prayer request, familiar with every person that is sitting inside that igloo, familiar with their path, familiar with their heartaches and things that encourage, things that discourage them. That's just mind-boggling. You either are going to accept it or reject it. That's the short end of it, the long and short of it. You accept it or reject it. And I think that tonight there's far too many people rejecting it because they just can't fully understand. Well, I hate it for them. But God tonight, he is omnipresent. Proverbs 15:3. Boy, I tell you, there's nothing like good silence. Got up this morning. The girls were still in bed. Christy was going to work. I say girls. Kristen Bennett's been staying with us. Going on 2 weeks. And took a couple days off on Sunday and Monday. But, I mean, she's just been a blessing. But they'll stay up all night. Of course, I tell them there's a cutoff point to that. And, I'm trying to talk and find the Bible here. I'll tell you what. Who's at Proverbs 15:3? All right, Jeff, go ahead.
The honor of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good.
There you go. Believe it or not. His eyes are in every place. If you want to really think about a visual, visualize a big pair of eyeballs, a big set of eyes, looking and following if you want to get kind of comical and illustrative about it. They're in every place. And what, can you read it again for me?
The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good.
Beholding the evil and the good. Another question some of these will have is, if his eyes are in every place beholding the evil, why doesn't he do something about it? And there again, can't answer that. And then they say, that's why I'm not a Christian. So, but back on subject, his eyes are everywhere. His eyes are everywhere. And so the girls, I told them last night, I said, 12 o'clock, it's cutoff time. Lily says, Dad, come on, make a snack in there, get ready to put a movie on. And it's summer, come on. I said, well, okay, 1 o'clock. And Christy goes down to check on them during the night. 2 o'clock in the morning, boy, laughing and giggling, watching TV, cutting up. And so I told her this morning as she left for work, I said, we're just going to let them girls do what they want to do in this house within reason. You know, staying up is nothing. Good summer fun. But I was up, and they weren't up till about 10 o'clock. And I love this part of the morning. I love it. Go down to the couch. Most of the time I'll turn the TV on, Fox 5 News, but I'll put it about on volume 5. And it's where you can barely hear it. And I'll just lay there and kind of just relax. And after a while, it starts getting daylight. And the way our house sits, you know, I can see the sun comes through the front. So the back stays darker longer, but eventually it starts getting daylight. And it's like those hours are just so serene, so surreal. This morning had a great time just laying there. I mean, I wasn't on my knees praying for an hour. I wasn't at my desk, you know, thumping my brain trying to figure out how to interpret a verse. I was just laying there just thinking about, God, you are everywhere. You know everything about me. You have all power. There is no reason I cannot enjoy this day today. No reason at all. The girls got up. Man, I've already had my shower ready to go and dropped them off at a, we dropped them off at a friend's house. Millard and Judy met them at Pleasant Hill. They're an older couple. And dropped them off all day to go swimming. And I had more alone time today. So it's just been a great, great day. And saying that, though, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. His eyes were beholding even me this morning, watching the sunrise, thinking about him, thinking about how much I need him, thinking about how bad things can go if I exclude him, and really, really just casting all of my faith and my trust on him. And I believe, and I really have a conviction over this. When we get to a place where we're just casting everything on him, I think he's pleased with that. And I think in turn, we have more joy. And I mean, man, just today was just a, it was a great day. It was a great day. I had to pinch myself. Man, I'm not feeling that anxiety for some reason this morning. And like the lady who went to the doctor, and I have a problem with worrying. And then, you know, I worry when there's nothing to worry about. You know, it's just the peace of God tonight, just the peace of God that he gives to his children. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. At the same time, beholding the evil and the good. He is omnipotent. He has all power. He can reach down and do what he wants to do. He is omniscient. He knows everything. And if the Lord knows everything, the things we don't know, we just got to leave in his mind. And maybe one day we'll find out, maybe not. So that's the message tonight. Characteristics of God that comfort. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. Just the simple truths tonight of your word. Something, Lord, that touched me early this morning, and oh Lord, how I wrestled with wanting to share something never really or hadn't been shared in a long time. But Lord, this is where I want to be. I want to be, Lord, where those truths just jump out every day. God, I know that we're depraved human beings and our flesh can only stand so much glory, and we start to resist against the joy. Our flesh gets so uncomfortable that we can only handle so much of Jesus and so much of the joy and so much of the peace. Our flesh gets really, really uncomfortable and almost wants to worry, almost wants to sin, because we're just a depraved people. But Lord, I'm thankful for the new birth, the Holy Spirit. God, tonight I pray that you'll just use these verses, these words, allow them to sink deeply into our hearts. And God, help us always keep our mind on you and your characteristics. We love you tonight, and we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We got a couple minutes. Has anybody got anything they want to share, or you know, anything that jumped out to you or spoke to you? Hey, it can be classroom style tonight. If not, that's quite all right. We will close the service. But I really enjoy these lower in attendance meetings we have when God just really uses his word to comfort our hearts. So be in prayer for this coming up Sunday, and God will do something. It. All hearts cleared? All right. You're dismissed.